Colleen Cleary has recently returned from an extended stay in Cuenca, Ecuador, where she continued a life filled with thrilling adventure. She grew up in Madison, two blocks from the Capitol Square, attended St. Raphael's Elementary and Edgewood High Schools, and then went on to a degree at UW-Madison. Colleen now lives on the near west side and can open her shades each morning to see the high school that she once attended. Colleen.
There's a lot of people here tonight, Dick.
I know.
All right. My story is called Bill on His Wild Adventure Called Life. I didn't name him Wild Bill. He was called that name long before we ever met. I soon learned he was deserving of the name, though. Those crazy stories, some retold to me and others I can attest to. So here's one of them. Wild Bill called me one afternoon. He was getting out of the hospital finally. It had been a long 3 weeks for him lying on a hospital bed in the trauma ward of St. Mary's Hospital. Bill was recovering from a concussion, a broken hip, and two broken hands. He was a mess. But tonight was a time to celebrate because Bill was a survivor. He had fallen down an elevator shaft at the Belmont Hotel. No one could explain why the door to the elevator opened for him on the second floor, but it did. Bill stepped into the shaft, assuming the elevator was actually there. It was a long drop and a hard fall. He managed to climb up a ladder out of the shaft and then collapsed before the ambulance arrived. So there he lay in the hospital where he tried to reconstruct bones and save his life. He had made it through the difficult times, but in the process, he had lost nearly 40 pounds in just 3 weeks. This was concerning because Bill wasn't a heavy man even before the fall. Tonight it was time to party. Bill wanted to forget about the fall and toast to life. He wanted to go to the Esquire Club for drinks and dinner. Bill was discharged and he left the hospital limping along on crutches and got into his 1964 Buick Wildcat. He honked to pick me up and we headed across town to the east side of Madison. He ordered a slow gin and 7-Up for me and an extra dry martini for himself. It was sweet, 3 weeks without a drink for Wild Bill. We sipped our drinks at the bar and ordered our dinners. One more round before we go to the table, he said. The hostess came to seat us when our food was served. Bill got off the bar stool and he didn't need his crutches to walk to the table. He put them both under his arm and carried them. And he didn't stop at our table. Wild Bill just kept walking out the door and into the parking lot. I followed him and he handed me his car keys. You drive, just get me home, he said. There he sat, pale and slouched over as my passenger. I drove us down Sherman Avenue thinking, please don't die. He fumbled to roll his window down, and when he got it down, his head went outside. Minutes went by before he pulled his head back into the car. Are you okay? I asked. He replied, I'm okay, but you need to drive back. Back where? I don't want to go back to the Esquire Club. I just want to go home, I said. No, no, he told me. Just go back to where I stuck my head out the window. You need to go back and pick up my teeth. And hurry before someone runs over them. I was now making right turns to hurry back onto Gorham Street. Finally, I could see the spot where I needed to get out of the car and retrieve his dentures amid green goop with olive and pimento. It was a ghastly deed, but I did it for Bill, and Bill was so thankful. He was fish belly white when I got him home and into his bed. He promised nothing like this would ever happen again. But it did, and this is just one of the many tales I can tell you about the man the people about that man the people called Wild Bill. I never called him Wild Bill, though. I just called him Dad, because that's what a 15-year-old girl calls her father.